Okay, we're in chapter 19 in the Rambam, and we were speaking about that the Rambam, once again, the Rambam is offering here objections or a response to Aristotle's theory of the eternity of the universe. And as we've explained, the Rambam's response, I mean, all the Rambam was really, what the Rambam is basically saying is that man injects a concept of nothingness by imagining that nature could be different. In other words, man is that person, through his intellect and through his consciousness, is able to invoke a concept of non-being, which, as we explained last time, is really, in fact, what the Rambam understands to be creation ex nihilo. Creation ex nihilo is basically the man's projection of the power of his intellect in creating ideas whose origin is non-being onto the universe. And this is, in fact, the thesis which we've been discussing or exploring and promoting, that, in fact, actually, that the Rambam understood that, in fact, actually, there is no dispute between the theories of eternity and the theories of creation ex nihilo, but rather these are two visions of the universe. One is from the standpoint of the objective universe which man beholds. One is from the standpoint of man's consciousness. Now, the Rambam actually comes to a very, very interesting section in chapter 19, which I want to speak about. He speaks about Avraham Avinu. And the Rambam's view of Avraham Avinu is going, I'm just going to get my penis edition to make sure that I don't try to fool you with my translation. But I want to turn to, in the Schwartz edition, this is on page 324, on the last paragraph. And in the Pinus edition, this is on page 310. Okay, so let me read for the Schwartz edition. Keitzad Eifo Yidma Bardas. How can any intelligent person, right, imagine Shahamikum Shalakhovim Eila, that the place of these stars, those, we know that the stars are situated in very, very specific places. How could a person think that, in fact, actually the places of the stars are, in fact, actually random? Right? Right, once again, Maimonides, the Rambam, is arguing that since we see that there is nothing that's mukha, there's nothing that requires the specific places of the planets, the sizes and their places in the celestial sphere, so it must be that they were placed there with intention. According to the Rambam, the place of intention, that's, you know, that signals that the world was created ex nihilo by a through the will of God, through a creator who had a will, and not basically not that he's subservient to the laws of nature. So says the Rambam, there's no suffix, there's no doubt that each of the places, in other words, each place where every star is important in accordance with the kavana, the will of the he who wills. Right? I think the Says the Rambam, in my opinion, there's no greater proof to this than the distinctions there are among the movements of the different planets, the different spheres, right, and the stars, which are embedded in the celestial sphere. Once again, the Rambam understood, as did the Greeks do, that in fact, actually, the Earth is at the center of the world, and this is a large celestial sphere that's revolving around the Earth, and all the planets and all the stars are embedded in this huge celestial sphere. This is Galgal HaGadol. The Messias al Avram, right? The tradition that we have from Avraham Avinu, Nimsa, Once again, Shalomad lekach min ha-kechavim. The Rambam here, when he says tradition, is referring to midrashim. It doesn't, of course, those of you who have, you know, have studied Chumash Bereishis will realize that it doesn't say anywhere Chumash Bereishis that Rabbi Avinu, you know, took logical steps in the discovery of monotheism. This is a tradition of Chazal. The Mesirish Lavom Nimsa, Shalomad lekach min ha-kechavim. In other words, we have a tradition that Rabbi Avinu came to his belief in monotheism, and we'll see what else he believed in, from the stars. And these are things which are, well known. In other words, everybody knows, in fact, actually, that, number two things. Number one is these are midrashim, which are accepted by the Jewish people, our Messiah. And secondly, as the Rambam is going to do, he's going to actually bring the Vim. We seem to substantiate the they're thinking from Avinu. Now, in fact, actually,
it's not a real midrash, though.
What? No, it is a midrash.
It's fun that he finds a midrash.
So on the bottom, right. So on the bottom over here, in the Schwartz edition, in footnote 51, he does bring a midrash agadol. He says over there, midrash agadol, Yud Aleph, page 28. Achash yotzav von min hamara, when after Vom went out of the cave, hayal libo mishetet b'yitzichas ha'olam, his heart delved or contemplated the creation of the world. He looked through all these stars and said and decided, like, which one is he going to bow down to? Very interesting, like Yisrael, he decided which religion is he going to follow. He saw the moon, whose light shined at night from one end of the world to the other, and there are many stars around the moon. Right, Omazel Eloya. So he said, this is God. Of the Kolalaila. So if Rabbi Avinu worshipped this the entire night, I guess this is a medrash you couldn't bring anymore in the textbooks. So if Rabbi Avinu was once, right? There was once an Avinu with a Zohar. Anyway, now, Bishachwiz, Kevin Shirosh, Zerichas Achama, Be'ez Zerichasa. So the morning when Rabbi Avinu saw the sun shining, right, nechshecha halavana. What happens is the moon became dark. V'tashos koicha, and I guess the power of his illumination became weaker. So almost, Rav Avinu said to himself, "Ein or halavana ela mi or hachama." So it must be that the light of the moon comes from the light of the sun, which is something which Chazal know. It's a gemara dafayin hay in Bava Basra, right? That the gemara compares Yeshua to the Ohel Havana, and the Moshe Rabbeinu to Ohel Chama. Ve'eino oile b'skayim ela al mo'ira shel Chama. So Rav Avinu says it must be that the Ohel Chama is that which is b'kayim the world, which keeps the world going. Over Chama kol hayom. So Rav Avinu worshipped the sun the entire day. La'av v'shoka Chama. What happened was in the Shkia, in the evening, I was the Shkia of Ben Otam, the Shkia of whatever. Tashas Koicha. What happens is the sun set and its illumination became weaker. V'yatsa Levana v'kachov v'mazolis. All the stars came out, etc. Our father Yish Adon Eloyin La'elo. So Avraham Avinu said, "Look, I mean, well, if that's true, there must be a God beyond the sun." So Avraham Avinu came to monotheism. But we see an interesting thing that Avraham Avinu actually was worshipped Avodah Zarah in stages, until he came to a recognition that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's beyond the world.
Rambam says that in Mishnah Torah as well. That
what?
The Oved Imahem.
Well, he says what? When he was a little kid. Yeah, right. He was Oved Imahem. Yeah, but there, no, but there Lamaisa, no, the Chiddush here in the Medrash says.
Don't say little kid. He says he was 40 when he Abraham Shana of the when he was Makir's
boat. No.
In Mishnah Torah.
Yeah, well, he quotes the Mishnah Torah says, "Kemish nigmal etan zehitchel sheta b'daitav hu katan." He started thinking about this when he was a young little kid.
Kastin bein of the avad zara atip shim.
Blah blah blah. Right, but by the way, Ella Bushka boakano. He was a kid.
Who haya oyved imahim?
What?
Who haya oyved?
Lo ella balame v'lo modiya dava. Ella Bushka boakastim. Oyved v'olam oyvedim. Who haya oyved imahim? No, what happened is, yeah, but I'll tell you, the pshat like this, there's enough kamina between what the Rambam says. I mean, maybe I'll read the Mishnah Torah for the purpose of the audience, those of you who don't have Mishnah Torah in front of you. The Rambam says in the Chazal Zohar, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. I'm reading here from the Schwartz edition, once again, page 324, 51. As soon as he be, like he was, when he was young, when he began growing, his cholchayt b'dayt v'katam l'ashem b'yom v'leila v'yatomim hech evshe yagalgon zeh noyik tomim lo yamanhig. It's mashu from the Rambam that actually Avraham Avinu was young was actually more Aristotelian. He was thinking about what causes movement. Basically, the Rambam, as a little kid, was coming to the conclusion, which the Rambam concludes, comes to in the first chapter of section 2, that there must be a something which imparts movement. He lived among the stupid, foolish idolaters. His parents were idolaters and the whole nation. He used to worship with them, believe me, maybe not cheesing to her emes. After that, he decided. So it's mashva like this, and mashva like this. And mashva, you see, in the Rambam, it's mashva, it's mashva, it's mashva, it's mashva. But like very, very quickly, it's mashva, very, very quickly, he came to the conclusion, right, that, right? Now, the Rambam does at the end, Ben Arboy Mishon Ahika Avom Es Boroi. At 40 years at the end, the Rambam says that the Rambam recognizes Creator. But what I'm saying is that the fact is that in the Medrash, it's mashma that he wasn't even on his own stage just by himself, except that as you know, as the day changed from night to daytime to dusk again, he came to that conclusion. In the right, oh yeah, oh, very good. The only thing is, I want to say there's an afkamina. The distinction between the Medrash and the Rambam is the Rambam injects a little bit of Aristotelian. Aristotelianism into this. In other words, the Medrash is like a double posture. In other words, the sun shines and it stops shining. So where's the light come from? It's a very like primitive argument. In the Mishnah Torah, like I said before, the Rambam's argument of Ramavino is very Aristotelian. In any case, you should wait. Yeah. What?
Over here, the Rambam sounds Pythagorean. He's talking about the perfect movement of the of the spheres and.
What's interesting is that you show something. The Rambam's shita that basically Rabbi Avinu was an Aristotelian is attacked. I think by the Avodas Hakodesh. He attacks the Rambam and says Chas v'Shalom. Rabbi Avinu wasn't a philosopher. He was a mekubal and he knew things through Kabbalah. So this this shita of the Rambam is in fact actually. Is Tom Bachleikas. But in any case, what I want to get is the following thing, which is important. Why is he bringing Avraham Avinu in here? What's the pshat of the Rambam? Why is he bringing him in over here? In other words, he's obviously, and this is a very, very important deal that I want to make. Why is he bringing Avraham Avinu in here? I mean, if you read the Rambam, at least the way most people read the Rambam discovered monotheism. Avraham Avinu discovers monotheism. It means there's a creator. Okay? But he might as well be Aristotelian. I mean, maybe Avraham Avinu believed in the eternity of the universe, Chas v'Shalom. Okay? It's clear that the Rambam understands that Avraham Avinu believed, I mean, the Rambam in the Bar Avuch understands that Avraham Avinu believed in more than Aristotelianism. He believed in creation, ex nihilo. Now, the fact is, right, the fact is that, I mean, we're in the Mishnah Torah, in other words, is there a remez, an allusion to the fact that, that Avraham Avinu believed in creation ex nihilo. I mean, it could possibly he didn't believe in Avodah Zarah. Just like Aristotle didn't believe in Avodah Zarah. The Rambam's proofs of God's existence of reality come from Aristotle, and are based, as we spoke about in the Hakdam, in the introduction, that his proofs of the existence of God are actually based upon the assumption of eternity. I mean, where do we? In other words, why is the Meira Nevuchim? Right? The Meir Nevuchim is claiming that Avraham Avinu not only discovers monotheism in the sense of Aristotle, that there's a creator who is incorporeal, but also too that there's a bayre with a will, right? Right, with a will. Where's with the kavana? So what's interesting is that this point of view is in fact actually taken by Rabbi Yosef ben Soloveitchik in the to be published forthcoming lectures on Genesis. He devotes actually several lectures to Avraham Avinu. He understands too that Avraham Avinu discovered not only monotheism but discovered the moral law. Now, in the footnotes of the person who who edited his works, I noticed in the manuscript that there's a diuk in the Mishnah Torah. It says, his parents, father and mother, and all the nations were worshipping idolatry. And he worshipped the idols with them. And because his mind, you know, explored and understood, until he reached the truth, justice. In other words, in the Lashon, I'm reading from the Mishnah Torah. In the Lashon of the Rambam, Kavat Tzedek, right, indicates that not only is there a God who created the world, who's incorporeal, and then what, right? But not only that, there's a God of justice. There's a God of justice. In other words, and this in fact actually is the moral law which Avraham Avinu discovered. In other words, Avraham Avinu not only discovered. Avraham Avinu not only discovered monotheism, he discovered the moral law too.
Haven, what?
Haven? Kav HaTzedek.
That's in the
Yad? Yeah, Lashon Kav HaTzedek. Now, what's interesting is, what's interesting is that this is combined in Perek Yud Gimel, which is the first chapter which we began with, which begins the section of the Meira Nevuchim. There, on page 298, in the Schwartz edition, page 298, in the last paragraph, so there, the Rambam writes, right? He's discussing the first opinion of creation, which is B'riyish B'ayin creation actually alone. And there the Rambam writes, Zoyis Yachas Adeyas B'ilu Loi Savik Ika Teres B'ishir Abeinu Alam HaShalom V'usheni L'Ika HaYichud. Right, you shouldn't think anything else. From Avinu, Olav Hashalom, Heichel Mafazim De'azoyz. Interesting. Avraham Avinu was the first person to believe in creation ex nihilo. Asher Iyun Avio Eleha. In other words, Avraham Avinu
not publicize it.
What?
First person to publicize it.
Can't hear you.
First person to preach it.
Right, but no, but why? Right. V'lachain kara no, because l'chayah the Rishon also knew, right? But wait a minute, no. V'lachain kara b'shem Hashem k'aloylam, who yivia de'azoyz mafuish ba'omrei koinei shemayim va'oretz. Now, what's interesting is, so the Rambam brings two psukim here that indicate creation ex nihilo. One is the pasuk b'shem Hashem k'aloylam, and one is koinei shemayim va'oretz. The incredible kasha that has to be asked here, I'm not sure whether I asked this kasha when we did Perek Yud Gimel, but the incredible kasha is that the Rambam himself in the Meir Nevuchim at the end of Perek Lamed seems to indicate explicitly that there are four attributes, there are four verbs which the Torah used to describe creation. I'm on page 370 of the Schwartz edition, which are Bo, Asa, Kona, and Kale. And the Rambam says that, it's interesting, the Rambam says that Kel is a Lashon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, Shleimus, but Koine says the Rambam is Noita Klapi Hamuna Bekatmus Choyme Kol Shehu. Now, I'm not sure whether the Rambam is trying to upend from Avinu or not, but the fact is, so, I'll tell you the truth, I don't think this is the Pshat of the Rambam. Now, I don't think this is the Pshat of the Rambam. I think it's Epes Ashtikl Torah, but I'll say it anyway, Ashtikl Torah, right? Since this is not a totally scholarly series, so I can say Ashtikl Torah. Yishtikel Tere is that what is, in other words, first of all, why does the Rambam, the Maariv Buchim, bring two psukim? B'shem Hashem Kel Oilam. So Kel Oilam, I understand, the Rambam says, has to do with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the great Ishleimus. That means he's above any of his creations. That's the Lashon of Kel. But what about Kodesh Shemayim V'Oretz? So, in other words, the lotion of Kodesh Shemayim V'Oretz seems to me, what is the philosophical connection between monotheism and between ethics? In other words, the Rambam clearly in the Avodah Zarah is making a connection between monotheism and ethics. By the way, Derech Agav, in the Psukim in Bereishis, what's it about Avinu? It'll teach his children tzedek, right? Umishpat. I mean, when it comes to Bogus speaks about Avinu, he emphasizes the ethical part of Avinu. But I want to claim the following thing, and I think this is it's a double portion, but I think it's a yesod. I'm for sure not the person to say this. I think it should be also the vice wants to say this too. It isn't explicitly, but in the notes it's made explicit. The fact is that if I believe that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what is the relationship of monotheism to ethics? And there's a very, very good relationship to monotheism and ethics. Why? In other words, monotheism understands that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has created the entire world. Creation implies ownership. I mean, just ask any lawyer about intellectual property. Creation implies ownership. If I say that there's a, in other words, if I say that there's a being who is beyond anything physical in the world, who created the entire world, that means that Kodesh Baruch Hu owns the world. Now, if creation implies ownership, that means that man has ethical obligations to God. Bishop Bessel of Vajik wants to say in these lectures that God is in a halachic sense, the owner of the world. He grants man vast powers, or du begas hayam of oif hashamayim. Once God allows man to share in God's powers, right, then this sharing of ownership of land, etc., carries with it an ethical responsibility. In other words, just like, for example, if I let you live in my house, I can impose, law upon this. That's the connection he makes. So, I'm not sure this is the pshat of the Rambam, but certainly as a drasha, it's emes. Namely, that, in other words, the monotheism is related to ethics, because monotheism understands that God is an absolute, attributes to God an absolute ownership of the entire world. So therefore, man who's created with the ability, with hegemony over the physical world, naturally, because of this, man has to accept an ethical obligation. That's what I would say is, that's the way Rabbi Yeshua ben Soloveitchik, but I'm sure if he was here, we'd have pshat in this among the
Mevuchim. So that's the case when
Pasuk Kodesh Shemayim V'Oretz,
if it's viewed from an ethical perspective, it's not...
Right. In other words, Rambam is bringing Kodesh Shemayim V'Oretz not to indicate eternity, but to indicate an ethical obligation that comes from this. Now,
so if you view it as an ethical statement, then the Rambam in
Perek Lamed
is Lav Dafka.
Well, but he says, he does say in Perek Lamed, it is noted towards Kadmos. He does say that.
Yeah.
He does say that. But the Rambam also says that Kodesh Shemayim V'Oretz, the Rambam says, it's like an Odo in his Koine Nevet. It has to be worked out. I mean, but I think, going back to Avraham Avinu, what's the aside here? This is the aside. The aside is the following thing. It's clear the Rambam, that the whole point of creation ex nihilo is that man is able to negate, man is able to imagine possibilities. Right? And if we attribute a will to God, that means that God makes choices, does things intentionally, meaning that God has free will. In other words, man's free will is a very, very important insight, a very fundamental postulate, an axiom in the Rambam. Without the free will of man, there's no point in any type of ethical system, let alone religious obligations. In other words, creation ex nihilo, right, which attributes free will to God. And as the Rambam says very clearly in Parakhafe, without God's without, you know, if God is mukhach, in other words, if God is subject to the laws of nature, then not only can we not account for the fact that God, you know, chooses a nation and chooses prophets, but there's no concept of a moral obligation. God doesn't come in. Doesn't have a rotz. Doesn't have a will. So, I think what the Rambam wants to say over here, very simply, is that when Avraham Avinu, right, when Avraham Avinu discovered, Avraham Avinu not only discovered the existence of God, Avraham Avinu discovered Kavat Tzedek, which is the notion of ethics. Creation ex nihilo, right, is the basis of ethics. Because if in fact God, if God creates the world ex nihilo, that means God has a will, and therefore God can impose his will upon man, and also man also has free will. I mean, man can be greater than God. But if I say that the world is eternal, then, you know, God is subject to the forces of nature, right? What's the makor? What's the source of ethics? Well, that's a big problem. Now, Aristotle also believed in ethics. But the Nicomachean ethics of Aristotle is really like a practical type of ethics. It's not a... Aristotle believed in a divine ethics. It's like a practical ethics. But the Rambam understands that, no, ethics is part of creation. So...
Aristotle also doesn't understand that ethics is part of creation. He understands that there's an objective...
No, only Plato.
That's born out of matter, out of creation.
Aristotle?
Yeah. It's not... Besides for...
In Plato, no, it's not true. As Tristan understood, Aristotle recognizes the dualism between ontology and ethics. It was Plato believes in a concept called the good. There's an abstract concept called the good, an absolute ethics. Aristotle understands, at least the way most people understand Aristotle, is that there's a dichotomy between ontology and ethics. One cannot derive ethics out of the physical world. In other words, ethics, there is a kind of ethics which is allows society.
Any kind of
what?
Any kind of ethics?
Yeah, that's the Shmuz and Aristotle.
There's a distinction between social ethics and personal perfection.
But the concept of the good with a capital G is Platonic, not Aristotelian. I mean, there are many articles like that. That's assumed by the Greek scholars, even though Jasper seems to disagree with that. He claims they don't really know what they're talking about. But Putnam and all the philosophers understand that, you know, what Plato believes that ontology and ethics are equal, and Aristotle disagrees with it. But whatever it is, I mean, I think, you know, the point over here is that if creation of God implies that I have to worship God, then by definition, God has to have created the world ex nihilo. Without creating the world ex nihilo, then God doesn't have a will. There's no point in the divine law. I think that's the Rambam's bringing out here. That's my opinion. So in other words, Saif Dover, Saif Pasik, what am I trying to get at in this section over here, is that really, in a certain sense, is that creation ex nihilo is not a theory of creation, as it is a theory of free will, which, in fact, since it ascribes the possibility of free will to man by his ability to negate things, so this free will has to be ascribable, derived from God. But it's not a theory of creation. When the Rambam brings over here Avraham Avinu, right, and we see it in, together with Mishnah Torah, I think the Rambam, there's no, in other words, at least for the Mishnah Torah, there's no evidence that Avraham Avinu discovered creation ex nihilo, unless you want to say that Avraham Avinu's discovery of creation ex nihilo was intertwined or connected with his discovery of the ethical, divine ethical imperative of man. And this yesod of mine is echoed by the Rambam in Perek Gimel, who brings the two psukim b'shem Hashem kel elyon and karnei shemayim va'aretz. That's my point. Once again, what does this all point? It all points to the yesod that I'm trying to make is that creation ex nihilo is an expression of the basic observation that man is possessed with the ability to negate, to make choices, and therefore man has an ethical aptitude, and we're attributing this to God. The source must be God. That's what creation ex nihilo is. But it's not a theory of creation. It's not a theory of creation. And that's the, in other words, and the monotheism of Avraham Avinu, The Avraham Avinu is basically a monotheism that's rooted in ethics. Avraham Avinu, you know, is ethics. That's what Avraham Avinu is. Time, Avraham, it's ethics. In fact, actually, if you look at the Chumash, can I speak about the Chumash? In the Chumash, if you take the charismatic personality of Avraham Avinu, it's basically ethical. It's ethical. What's he doing? He saves light. Stoim va'abayra. He's a tzaddik. Achdas ha'zachim. I mean, he makes statement, kelel yoyin, but what do you get out of the story? Out of Bereishis, what do you get out of that Avraham Avinu is midas ha'chesed? He's not midas ha'chochma, midas kesa, midas bin. He's midas ha'chesed. He's midas ha'chesed. That's what Avraham Avinu is. In other words, the monotheism is the hate. I'm using yeshivish language now, since I'm making yeshiva, is the hecha timsa from Avinu's chesed. And that for the Rambam is enough to justify the notion that Avraham Avinu is really is the bachadish of Briya Yeshbiyaya. That's what I think. Anyway, in any case, I want to say just one more thing here, which I think is important too. Right, how much time do we have?
We have
an hour. Very good. The Rambam now brings me Shayol, which is very, very interesting. And the reason Avraham Avinu.
Which was just,
yeah, sure. Let's go back. Yeah.
Briefly, what you just said. Bria Yesh Me'ayin is a fiction which allows people with free choice to think that they have free choice.
Yeah.
Because they have to ascribe free choice.
I wouldn't call it
a
fiction. It's a.
Mitzidenu.
Right. In other words, it's a conception of things. Right, which gives a dimension, which allows man to have free choice, which gives rise to free choice.
Because we can't imagine an eternal universe in which God would have free choice.
No, it gives free choice to man because man could imagine alternatives. Since man can alternatives, that's the root of free will.
But why?
Free. It was if I believe that man doesn't
yeah,
have.
If we would say the universe is eternal, then we would not be able to ascribe the choice of alternatives to God.
Right, and therefore, because of that, we cannot turn it right. Right. The source of our free must be God.
Oh, so because our minds are limited in our conception of God, therefore we have to ascribe
that's right. That's right. Okay, fine. Now, after this, the Rambam brings from Yeshaya. Yeshaya Omar, Kishu Ma'ir Lahavi Raya Mehem. Right? Which also, Yeshaya is also bringing a proof from the Kachavim, from the stars. So he says, "Su'u moray meinecha, b'ru'u mi bara ela." Lift up your eyes and say, "Mi bara ela? Who created these?" Hamaitzim b'mizpat zavam lechulam Hashem ikor. V'chein omar yimayo eis shemayim v'omar vino Hashem laki hashemayim v'adoyin anaviim omar reichev shemayim. Now, what is the mi bara ela? What does it mean, Bara Eila? Let me tell you, the Pshat that the Rambam is, actually, I know this is Pshat, but it has to be Pshat, because I can't think of any other way of explaining the Rambam. Me Bara, the Lashon of me is who? Who created these things? There's a Zoyar, I'm not trying to be Kabbalistic, but there's a Zoyar that the Shabbat Soloveitchik brings in these lectures, and the Zoyar makes a big ideal out of me and Ela. Now, I'm going to explain Rabbi Soloveitchik's interpretation of the Zoyar, which is really, you know, what we need for our purposes. The Zohar makes us saying the me and what's ma, Eila is ma and me. Shabbat Soloveitchik learns the Zohar, the Pshat the Zohar is the following way. I didn't bring the Zohar in front of me, but if you look at the Zohar, the very beginning of the Zohar, I'm done with the Zohar, or beginning of Bereishis, the Zohar is like this. Yeshabel says there's two notions of God. There's the notion of God as the creator of the world. That's called Eila. Eila is the stars. That's the natural order, the creation. And the creation the creation, the natural creation, which man beholds, man can study and understand with his intellect. In other words, God doesn't hide anything from man in his creation. God's creation, the objective creation of the world, can be understood by man intellectually. And the Zohar is mashma that the Eila, I can know the Eila, these. Because the quote, the Eila, which the Zohar calls the Ma, right, is basically the laws of nature as they, you know, reveal themselves and are amenable to man's intellect. That's God as the creator. But there's a personal God. There's persona. The personal God is the me. The me is hidden. In other words, the me, the personal God, the God with whom I have a personal encounter, a personal relationship, an ethical relationship, this personal God, that's me in the Zohar. The me I can never understand. I can never come to. In other words, the Eila, which is the Ma, the one in the world, I can understand that intellectually, but it's cold, it's impersonal. The personal God that I relate to is the me, right? That in fact actually is hidden from man. Me Bara Eila learns the Zohar is that there's a contradiction. How could it be that the personal God, how does the personal God relate to the Eila, which is the creation which expresses the, in other words, the natural order? Now, the fact is that the pshat of Yashabir is that ultimately the personal God is the God of ethics. The God of creation is the God of science. Yashabir wants to say that the Zohar understood that there's a natural dichotomy between the objective creation of the God of science and the ethics of the personal God. And he goes on to say, this is the Shabbos, the meals of the Shabbos, etc. What I want to get at is that, I mean, I'm not of those people who believe that the Rambam secretly knew Zion was hiding it in the Magen Avraham, right? But what I'm saying is that I think the pshat over here is mi bara eila. I mean, obviously the pshat of the pasuk is that me is a lashon for who? A human being who has a ratzon. And he brought out the number of stars. What meaning is that the verse is a verse which seems to express an intentionality in creating mi bara eila. Who is the person who created this? Not ma bara eila, but mi bara eila. Which means is that once again, the Rambam, was Yeshayahu HaNavi, according to the Rambam, right, is appealing to the sense that the Creator is like a person who has a desire, who in fact actually creates things out of his free will, and that's the ethical obligation of man. Ah, so therefore what? Therefore it comes out, according to this, very, very good. In other words, we're not speaking about creation ex nihilo as a theory of creation. That doesn't say bria yesh b'ayin. But what it does say is that there's a me, there's a God who, like a person, relates to the creation in a personal way. And this personal relationship really is an interpersonal relationship between man and God. And this is the God with whom we identify is, and that this is basically an ethical concept which the Rambam is bringing within a context of creation as nihilo. So, in other words, right? What I want to say is that the Rambam clearly understood that creation as nihilo is not a theory of creation. The Rambam doesn't have a single proof anywhere in Chazal or in Chumash or in Nevi'im of Yesh Mi'ayin. But what he does have a proof, l'chayra, at least, is that a proof that, in other words, that the Nevi'im saw a personal God who creates the world. That's the source for ethics. And for the Rambam, that was enough to prove or to demonstrate creation ex nihilo. That's what I would say. It's a very interesting thing. Is why is the Rambam bringing this here? You think Aristotle would have cared about Avraham Avinu? I'm sure Aristotle didn't believe in Avraham Avinu. Although the Maisa, I think the Sanhedrin says he met Yirmiyahu, whatever, then Yirmiyahu told him about it from Avina. I think Aristotle met, who, he met Yirmiyahu?
It's quoted,
he slugged him up.
It's quoted in the name of Torah Sa'asham.
I don't think it's there. Then what? That Yirmiyahu met Aristotle, slugged him up, right?
Crying over the Chorban.
And it was Chayza B'tshuva.
And whatever, Yirmiyahu won the argument.
In any case, what?
He's saying, why are you crying if it's all been destroyed? He shows it's Kedai to cry over the Chorban.
Okay, now, in any case, what comes out from this here is, why is the Rambam bringing Avraham Avinu? I don't think Aristotle would have cared anything about Avraham Avinu. I mean, in the parak in which he's coming to respond to Aristotle, why bring Avraham Avinu? But I think that's exactly the point. It's not a debate. He's not saying to Aristotle, you're wrong. He's just saying is that Judaism is a religion of ethics. Because of that, Judaism recognizes a dimension beyond creation, beyond objective creation. And that's what's called, that's creation as Ni'ala. The fact that Pisa Pavavina Shayel means it's a non-commensurable conversation. He's not coming to argue with Aristotle. Just saying is that man, when man confronts the universe, somehow he discovers, right, this intentionality of the Creator, and that's the source of ethics. And that's Priya Yishmiayin. So, that's clearly what the Rambam is doing over here. Okay? Now, the fact is, okay? Like this. Now, I want to go to page 324, right? And then the Rambam concludes, right? With the following paragraph. On page 325, the last paragraph, and this is how it concludes at chapter 19. B'dika zois hevianu esan lachkor shtei bayot. In other words, this investigation has brought us to investigate two problems. Ha'achas, the one problem is, ha'im b'tzivusu shal ha'shoni hazeh mechayev shezeh yebhecha b'kavan b'chuvan. Lo al derech ha'chiyev o'shema zeh lo mitchayev. Interesting. I'll treat this from the pinnis. Is it of necessity of good or not? Seeing the sense of these differences, that this should be due to the purpose of what it proposed and not due to necessity. Very interesting. After the Rambam says this, he goes deeper into the problem. Well, the Rambam is assuming that there's a difference in velocities or difference in places, and it must be that there's a machaveh. But the Rambam raises this question: was are differences intentional? Or maybe the differences are mechuya. Maybe it has to be that the distances between the planets are a point of necessity. That's question number one. Habaya shniyei. The second question is, right? Im akol haya bekavana mechuvan asher yiched yichud zeh. Was if everything was done bekavana with intentionality that the Creator intended this. Hayim is chayav mizeh. Does this require that all of this come after non-being, after absence, after a vacuum? Or is that required? Right? In other words, basically, it could possibly be that even if I say that the distances and the details of the creation imply that there was a Ratzon, there was a will, there was a Mechaved. But who says it has to come from what? Who says it has to come from Ni'ala, from nothingness? Could possibly be that, in other words, there's a way of resolving this. Now, in fact, actually, we do know that in Parakaf Hei, the Rambam is going to say very, very clearly, that, in other words, you could believe in free will, and you don't have to believe in creation after Ni'ala, so you don't have to believe in Plato's theory of the eternity of the universe. So clearly, we clearly see what the Rambam is leading up to. In other words, the Rambam is chiefly coming to argue against Aristotle. But when he raises these questions, it's not clear at all that though the question, it could possibly be that in fact actually one could assume there's a machaven, there's an intentional creation, But it doesn't necessarily mean that it comes after an absolute nothingness. It could be a creation that comes from some type of a amorphous, you know, original substances. Okay, this is the where the Ram ends in this chapter. So basically the Rambam says that in the following chapters he's actually going to explore this this issue of whether in fact intentionality of creation implies that there has to actually be number one, does it have to really be a will? And put away, do the differences that we see in the creation imply an intentionality? That's number one. And number two, even as soon as intentionality, does that imply that the creation comes after an absolute nothingness? Those are the two problems that Rambam, which we'll see actually in the Prokem, it'll be very, very interesting, and I'm going to try to offer a very interesting interpretation to what the Rambam is speaking about. But we'll see that in Mirat Hashem for the next time. Okay, I think we're just about finished. Okay, Baruch Hashem Le'ilam Amen V'Amen B'Shem Hashem Kel Yain, which is the Rambam slogan of monotheism. Until next time, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, be well.